In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I've told you many, many times, I'll continue to tell you, because it's really important, when you read the Scriptures, read them so that they touch you. Have that expectation that something penetrates into your heart when you read it. Now, if you know the Scriptures well, as far as the history and the customs and the really deep theology, well, that's fine. That's fine. That's good to know. But you must have the Scriptures touch you. They must motivate you or rebuke you or enlighten you or console you or do everything at once. Very, very important. So this story about the great catch of fish, the first great catch of fish, has much in it that I've spoken about many times. It's one of my favorite passages. And just about every time, I compare it to the second great catch of fish. Well, you've heard that before, most of you. Let me talk about something else that is really more important. Because without this something else, the second great catch of fish would have never happened. And that is when the Lord gives a command in the middle of the day, in the heat of the sun, after the disciples have fished all night and caught nothing, launch out into the deep. He didn't ask them, he just told them, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I submit to you that that is what we must do. This is much more than speaking about obedience to Jesus Christ. Peter makes it clear, Master, we haven't caught anything all night, but at your word, I will do it. And of course, they catch an incredible multitude of fish. It's not just about obedience. It's about trust. It's about endurance. It's about aggressiveness and activity. You have to live your life as a person who is launching his nets out into the deep. Now, when Peter obeyed the Lord, he may or may not have had an expectation of success. But certainly his fisherman's experience told him that it wasn't likely to be successful. And he was tired. But he did it anyway. So when you're tired, you got to do it anyway. I have a little saying I've made up. It's always right to do the right thing. That's always true. But it's not always true that doing the right thing turns out in a way that you like. A lot of times it doesn't. Or perhaps it turns out in a way that is just, well, same old, and nothing really changes. But it's always right to do the right thing. It's always right to launch your nets out into the deep, to have this aggressiveness of living your life. Don't live your life passively. Live aggressively. The kingdom of heaven is being won by violence. Do you understand what that means? That means struggle. Your struggle against your sins, your struggle against your complacency, your struggle to pray when you don't want to pray, when to forgive when you don't feel like forgiving. And it has to be something that is aggressive and is active. And if it is, then indeed there will be great catches of fish. Now understand that the gospel is not unlike any examples we give in secular life sometimes. We talk about if you do this, this will happen. And here's an example. So in the gospel, they launch out into the deep and they have an enormous catch of fish almost immediately. Well, that doesn't happen very often in our lives. God doesn't allow it to happen because otherwise we'd become complacent. We would actually lose our faith if things were too easy. But we are still to launch out into the deep and there will be the great catch. This is the kind of thing a priest must believe. Must remind himself of, at least this priest has to, that I must continually launch out into the deep. I must continually be aggressive in praying for someone, in going to see someone, in whatever it is that I should be doing that doesn't seem like it's getting a whole lot done. It's the same way in your life. Sometimes I talk to some of you and I say, well, are you praying about this? Well, yeah, or no, not really. Well, because it's an ongoing problem. And when you pray about it, it doesn't get better. Or it gets a little bit better, and then you go back to your habit. Well, you have to launch out into the deep, my friend. You got to go out there, and you got to let down the nets. And you got to say, no matter what the external circumstances, no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I think about the situation, no matter what my habits are, no matter how ongoing the problem has been, I'm going to just obey the Lord. This is a very important way to live. It's a good thing to remember. It's a good, shall we say, mnemonic device. I've talked to you about those before. There are certain scriptures that for me are mnemonic devices, things that just spur me on. And this is one of them. Just do it. Do what's right. God will reward you. Not all at once, and not right away, and perhaps not for a very long time. Right now, we have one of our own. Archbishop Jovan is in prison, suffering grievously. His health is faltering. He's in cold and damp conditions and bad food and everything else. He's not young. And I pray that he's still launching into the deep. Basically, for the most part, forgotten. There's no governments that are clamoring for his release except for the Serbian government, I think. But he's struggling, and his reward might not be in this life. That's the kind of struggle you have to have. You've got to be willing to continue to struggle and to endure. Now, for some people, this sounds very onerous and difficult and gloomy. Then they don't understand the gospel. What did Saint Paul say in the epistle today, the first epistle we read? That we are always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. The stuff you do has a purpose. It has an end. That is your eternal life, your union with God. You must always remember that. That'll help you to continue to be aggressive. One time I was talking to a woman who had was living with her boyfriend. And I told her, that was wrong. She shouldn't do that. She says, I have to. I must. Because if I don't, he will kick me out and I'll have to go back to Russia. She knew it was wrong, but she didn't have the courage to not do it. That's what I call not launching out into the deep. Being afraid of your external circumstances. A lot of people get involved in sexual immorality because they're afraid to launch out into the deep. Because they're afraid that the one they care about will say, I don't want anything to do with you now. Or this is expected behavior. Or what's wrong with you? Or don't you love me? They're afraid to just obey the Lord. You have to work on this. Perhaps you don't have that problem. But there are other things in which you have to continually enable your courage to launch out into the deep. What a great privilege it is to be able to suffer for the Lord when he calls us to do so. The scripture says that. Now, we live in an age where people don't like to talk about that. And TV pastors make millions upon millions of dollars in order to avoid that subject because people don't want to hear it. But really, we are always bearing in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. So that his life will be manifest in our life. That's very, very good news. All it takes now for us is a little bit of courage. And if we don't have courage, let's ask the Lord to help us. And you find a way to continue. I find it takes a lot of courage to continue to pray for things in which the answers don't seem to be coming. That's launching out into the deep. Absolutely. It takes courage to speak up for morality in this age in which the only immorality is to speak of immorality. It takes courage. You got to launch out into the deep. You got to be unafraid. The Lord will reward you. It takes a lot of endurance to continue to come to the services, to confess, to fast, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like it's helping you much, or it's just a burden, or things seem to be the same. You got to launch into the deep. I'm convinced, by the way, that for people that that have come to the services and then kind of slack off, that the reason they do is because they don't see enough results in their life. They're not willing to stay in the deep. Or maybe it shouldn't be put in that harsh way, not a matter of willingness, but a matter of strength. That they just don't understand that the Christian life is he who endures to the end will be saved. We have the privilege of emulating our Lord's life. That's a great privilege. We should be happy about that. Now, the apostle says another thing that is truly amazing. And that is that we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power of God and the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We're earthen vessels. Do you know there's nothing about us that's like God at all except by his will, by his love? Otherwise, we'd be nothing like him. And yet he proclaims that we can be adopted to be his sons and daughters. It's a great privilege. It should make you want to launch out into the deep. Make you want to be aggressive. Live your life aggressively. Now, not aggressively against other people. That's a sin. But aggressively against your sins. And aggressively for righteousness. For goodness. Be willing to launch out into the deep. Now, if you have that mindset, okay, you'll have sins that you're not doing a good job with and they're still going on, and you'll still have trouble with not saying your prayers every day and all the rest. But if you have that mindset that you must struggle, even when you don't feel results, God will strengthen you and you'll say more of your prayers. And your heart will be filled with God. Things will change. The great fish catch a fish will come. Absolutely and positively it will come. That's a guarantee. The Lord didn't say right away, but it will come. So have that attitude in you. Very important to be aggressive with your faith. To win your salvation with violence. Now, a good soldier is always ready. Is always ready for action. That is what you must be. So you must be ready at every moment to launch into the deep. Whatever it is that you must do with courage, with endurance. There's a lot of endurance necessary in the Christian life. I've really learned a lot as a pastor. When people are zealous, sort of I make a mental note, okay, I'll check back with them in 10 years. Because there must be perseverance. It's hard to have perseverance. It has to be cultivated. But perseverance begets perseverance. It doesn't make you more tired. Now, in a worldly sense, we know that if you work really, really hard, you get tired, and then eventually you have to stop working. But that's not the way it is in the Christian life. Did you know that? If you work really hard in the Christian life, you have more energy to work harder. And there will be more blessing in your life. There will be more joy in your life. There will be the great catch of fish. It's not at all like it is in the world. But you have to be willing to launch out into the deep, to be aggressive in obeying the Lord. It's very, very important. So if you can struggle to do this, then all the stuff that bothers you is going to go away. No, not right away, but it will go away. And you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you'll have eternal life and be perfected and united with Jesus Christ. That's the point of it all. So remember this when you have a tough time tomorrow. And when there's something that's just going the way you usually see it going and you don't like it and you'd like to just react in a way that you kind of know is not the right way, but it would sure make things easier, launch out into the deep. Have the courage to say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't even like it, but I'm going to do it. If you do that, you will live life victoriously. Absolutely. This is a real key to victorious living, to living with joy. Be willing to struggle. Don't be afraid of it. That's one of the things, by the way, that when I became Orthodox, that just I couldn't get over how beautiful it was. Orthodox Christians are willing to struggle. I mean, we have things built into our faith that have struggle in them. Fasting, long services. Our prayers are a struggle. Do you like to say all that stuff about yourself that's in the prayer book? I don't always like to say that stuff about myself. But then again, I do. Because, you know, it's true. It's true. And I can just be honest with God and say, you know what, I'm not a very good guy. But if I continue the struggle, I'm going to become a good guy. I know that. I hope you know that too. Now, if you don't know it sometimes, then hold on to something you do know. I talked about that last night in the Matins Gospel when the angel had talked to the women and it said they remembered his words, and how memory is a very precious and beautiful virtue to have. Remember that the Lord loves you. Remember what your purpose in life is. And let that be what motivates everything you do. Now you'll have bad days. You might have bad weeks and months. You might have times when you don't act at all like a Christian should act. But if you have that memory in your heart, you will never lose him. You always come back. You always struggle against your sins. That's what launching out into the deep is remembering that the Lord will help you. And then aggressively obeying him. Don't do anything passively in the Christian life. Never. Aggressively pray. Aggressively love your brother. Believing that God will reward. So may God help you all to order your life by always launching out into the deep. Amen.